This morning I want to continue our thoughts in 1 Corinthians that we started last Sunday, but I also want to blend our theme in with it for this year. This year I've chosen, after the Lord's worked in my heart and life, has chosen the thought of family. And it's not so much that I'm going to be preaching on the moms, dads, husbands, wife family throughout the year, although we'll probably hit on that some in the month of February. But I want to talk about the family of heritage, and I want to emphasize that throughout the year. This past year, I'm sure most of you would agree with me in what I'm going to say, but I'm going to look at it from just a ministry perspective. This previous year was, as far as my ministry goes, I've been in the ministry now for 27 years. I'm in my 27th year. Was the most difficult year of ministry for me this past year, no doubt. And at the same time, I can say this and mean it and be sincere 100%, it was the most blessed year of ministry. How is that possible? My most difficult and yet my most blessed. In fact, I think if you offer me, hey, this next year it's going to be just as hard but just as blessed, there's a part of me like, I don't want nothing to do with what we went through last year. And there's a part of me is like, man, it was a great year. God did so much. God worked. And I'm sure you can see that as well, difficulties. But yet, I'm sure many of us can reflect upon the blessings of this last year, certainly God's faithfulness to us. One thing in talking to folks through this last year, I think an appreciation has been recognized. Things that maybe have been taken for granted in different aspects of our lives. Certainly church. We have appreciated church more. When we had that live services gone away for those many months, starting last March and all the way into the month of June. Our health. Many have been affected by COVID. And we are grateful and appreciative of how the Lord's taken care of us. I know of churches all across the country that have had COVID seem to hit them much harder than it has hit us. Just this past 2 weeks, I have two ministry friends that have passed away because of COVID. One of my college professors, 72 years old, died because of complications from COVID. And then a family we've known for 27 years, missionary families in Mexico, just this last night or yesterday afternoon, Jerry and Marty Collins served in Mexico. Now they're in West Coast Baptist College, a Lancaster Baptist church, serving out there on staff. And Marty went home to be with the Lord last night after 4 weeks of being on a ventilator. And so we see that. We hear of those things. Many of you have experienced similar situations, and it causes us to be grateful for our health and appreciative of that. Many of you have been affected because of job situations and the way that your jobs have gone about, and you've appreciated it. And probably one thing I've heard mentioned more and more is how much people have appreciated their family. The extra time with family has been good. Spending those times at home now, kids home from school for multiple months there, and parents working from home and spending that extra time. And although there may have been a time of adjustment for that to get used to it, overall I have heard nothing but positive things. This last fall, summer, late summer, early fall, a couple of men in the church took my son and I on a fishing trip. It was after work on a Friday night. We're supposed to fish all night. We were going to fish all night because we were going to catch fish all night. You guys know who you are. You're watching today. It was an awful fishing trip, all right? We caught nothing. I think we did catch one fish. I didn't catch it, so it was really awful for me. And we just went all night. And in fact, I quit halfway through. I said, I'm out of here. You guys can fish all you want, but I'm leaving. And so I left early. And but talking to one of those men that night, one thing I did catch was his heart and how much he's enjoyed being able to be with his kids more regular. And he says, family has become more important to me because of COVID. And that stuck with me. And I've thought about that in relation to the Heritage Church family. You know, what does family mean? I know we could come up with a dictionary definition, but I think it's one of those words that may resonate differently for different people. For some of us, when we think of family, it's a very positive thought. You go back to memories of your childhood, when your kids were little, And it's all positive. It's good. You had a good family experience. For others, it's not as positive, is it? Had some difficulties in your childhood. Maybe didn't have the best examples or the best home life. In fact, because of that, many individuals that have had difficult home lives have found that they have found a closer family within a church. In fact, I had someone tell me the other day that they did not have a positive upbringing, did not have parents that loved them the way that they should, and certainly didn't raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that individual told me, said that they got his closest friends and his closest family members are his church family. And so family can mean different things to different people. When I was thinking on that, I thought this week I would look up on the internet. I thought it might be humorous. We might find what children, how they would define family. You remember Art Linkletter back in the 50s and 60s? He had that show where he'd ask questions, these leading questions to kids, and they would say funny things about whatever it was. And that's what I was anticipating, finding something. I would share those things with you. So I Googled that, what family means to me, and I put kids at the end of that. And the very first link I pushed ended up being a little video. And it was a video of about 3 minutes long of kids from probably ages 10 to 16 being interviewed out of an orphanage, out of an adoption agency down in Tennessee. And as I watched it, it was not humorous at all, as these young people were talking about not having a family and wishing they had a family, desiring that they had a family. And man, as I watched that, I was just bawling my eyes out. I mean, it just hit me like a ton of bricks as I was listening to these young people wishing they had a family. I was bawling in my office about that and called my wife when the video was over and telling her what happened, what I wanted to have happen. And then I found that video and I'm just a mess on the phone. And we finally got done talking, or I did, and Rachel asked very quietly, "Mark, you didn't sign us up for anything, did you?" And I didn't yet, but I was moved emotionally by that. And I appreciate those folks that have participated in things like that. So why family for a yearly theme? I want to talk to you just for a few more minutes before we get into the message about heritage, what I've experienced in my 18 months here. Just a few weeks ago, we had a young couple in that we were interviewing for a staff position, and they'd been here for a couple days. They're engaged, going to be getting married this summer, and so they had kind of driven around the area and trying to get to know this part of the country. They're not from here, and so we went out to eat with them that night, and they were asking us about the area and stuff. And they says, "What was it about Virginia, about Northern Virginia, about Woodbridge that drew you here? What was it that you like about Northern Virginia?" And I was trying to think, well, there wasn't a whole lot about Woodbridge or the area that I liked, but it was an easy answer for me. What drew me here was you. And I told him, I looked right at him, I said, "Heritage. That's why I'm here. I fell in love with this group here. I fell in love with this church. I fell in love with this family. This is what drew us here. I liked what I sensed. I liked what I found out. I liked what I've discovered here at this church with this church family." I remember our first Sunday here. It was Easter and it was Easter service, and we were interviewing for a position, and we sat back in this section here, in the back part of this section there, and it was Easter Sunday, and there was no COVID, so there was no restrictions, and the auditorium was packed. The choir and the orchestra were doing their cantata. There was a small dramatization that day, and man, I'm just back there, and I remember that morning we came in, we drove into the back there, and we weren't sure if God was calling us here or not at that point. And so we prayed before we came to church that morning. So, "Lord, if you want us at Heritage, if you want us here, would you make something, would you make it known during this service? Would you just speak to our hearts?" We're halfway through that cantata that morning, and again, I'm just bawling my eyes back out back there. I'm a mess. And I look at my wife, and I said, we're coming here, right? She was like, yeah, we're coming here. I mean, I fell in love with you that morning. And through these past 18 months, as I've seen, what is it about Heritage that I love so much? I've considered, I know I've not been here for the almost 40 years at Heritage, and I've not been through all the ups and downs of Heritage, but I sensed here a family, a true family. I considered the longevity of many staff members. I considered how long many of you have been faithful church members here. Many military people have told me that they made the choice. They could have moved anywhere in the country after their retirement, but they chose to move here. And I know that may not be the plan for every one of you that are in the military. You may not desire to stay here, or the Lord hasn't. But for many people, they chose on purpose to be here not because they loved Woodbridge or Northern Virginia or even the good job they could get, but because they loved Heritage. And that spoke to my heart. That resonated with me, and I said, I want to be a part of that. And I want us to hold on to that family feel here at Heritage. I think in some ways it could be easy for Heritage just to let Heritage run itself. 40 years of ministry. Let's just pour some gas and some oil in this thing and let it run itself for a while. But if we fall into that trap, it loses that family feel. And I don't want that to happen. And I don't preach this message this morning because I see that or I am experiencing that. I say that this morning to guard us that we don't let that happen. That we continue to let family be what defines Heritage. Now, let me try to combine this with our message this morning out of 1 Corinthians. We began 1 Corinthians last Sunday in chapter number 1. And we looked at those first 9 verses. If you remember, I gave you some background on the book, and we were talking about what 1 Corinthians is like and what the purpose of the book is. And notice in verse number 2, where we took our theme last week, he says, "Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name... call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours." And so we took that thought last week of called to be saints. Now, the book of 1 Corinthians it has a different purpose than some of Paul's books. In fact, we gave a contrast between Romans and 1 Corinthians last week. Romans is very gospel-oriented, whereas 1 Corinthians is very living the Christian life oriented. Romans deals with our old nature, whereas 1 Corinthians deals with the new nature. Romans deals with justification, salvation, whereas 1 Corinthians deals with sanctification, being consecrated, set apart. Romans, we use that to lead sinners to Christ, whereas 1 Corinthians, we lead Christians to live a Christ-like life. Romans introduces a new faith. 1 Corinthians demands faithfulness. And so this book is about growth. It's about living. It's about developing. It's about being consecrated for the Lord. 1 Corinthians is the longest of Paul's letters. It's a letter of condemnation and correction. But if you remember, it started with an emphasis on Jesus Christ. In those opening verses of 1 Corinthians, 9 times Paul mentions Jesus Christ. And we emphasized last week that Jesus Christ is the answer for every one of our situations. No matter where you're at, what's going on in your life, wherever you're at spiritually, Jesus Christ is the answer. That's where we begin. I had the honor and privilege this week I had a gentleman reach out to me. I had touched base with him early on in my ministry here, 16 months ago. And then he just faded away. And he reached back out to me in the last couple of weeks. And we've been texting and getting together and tried to encourage a visit with him where I could talk with him. And Because of COVID, his fiance wasn't comfortable with a face-to-face meeting. So I said, well, let's meet over Zoom. Let's have a Zoom session. And I asked one of our men to join us, one of the lay people here, and we got on this Zoom session with this guy, and we shared some testimonies and some things, how God's worked in our lives, how the Lord saved us. And then I took this gentleman on the Zoom meeting through the book of Romans, and I shared with him the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this past Thursday was my honor to see this man bow his heart and bow his head to the Lord Jesus Christ and call on Jesus Christ to save him this past Thursday. Jesus Christ was what he needed on that day. Now, I got another Zoom session scheduled for him this week. You know what he needs this week? He needs Jesus Christ. We're just going from Romans emphasis now to 1 Corinthians emphasis, and I'm going to show him how Jesus Christ can help him live the Christian life. I want him to continue to grow and develop. But Jesus Christ is still the answer. And so Paul begins this letter with the emphasis of Jesus Christ. But then he gets into verses 10 through 13, where he starts now what is going to be the overall theme of this book of correction, of condemning the way the church at Corinth is living. Notice in verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, he's talking to believers here. He's talking to Christians. I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas. Cephas is another name for the apostle Peter. So an I of Cephas or Peter, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Notice the words Paul uses in those verses. He uses words such as divisions, contentions, divided. Some say, I am of Paul, of Apollos, of Cephas. Now, there's a lot of things that go on that Paul's going to deal with here with the church at Corinth. They're going to handle their spiritual gifts wrong. There's going to be an arrogance amongst the church there that he's going to address because of how God had gifted them. There are going to be corrections there on how they handle the Lord's Supper, communion. Instead of it being a solemn time and a time of reflection and a time of remembering the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ in a special service, they made it more into a party. More into a fellowship. Paul condemns that. They brought their worldly influence in with this solemn event or this solemn moment. There's some immorality that goes on at the church at Corinth. And Paul condemns that immorality. But what he condemns more than the immorality is the fact that the church ignored the immorality. It was taking place and the church just ignored it, didn't deal with it, didn't address the matter. And Paul deals with those things, but before any of those things, he deals with something that maybe we would feel like is a small matter. Just little rivalries and contentions amongst different groups in the church. Now, these believers here, some of them trace their spiritual heritage back to the Apostle Paul. He was the one that preached or the one that led them to Christ. Some led back to a man named Apollos, some to Peter. And he says, you guys have your little teams. Team Paul, Team Peter, Team Apollos, and they stay separated from this set group and vice versa. And it was just a problem there in contentions because of this. Now I believe to help with this, Paul will deal with this throughout the book. And in chapter 12, Paul deals with it. So if you will, go there to chapter 12 with me this morning. We'll spend just a few minutes here in chapter number 12. Now the overall emphasis of chapter 12 is on spiritual gifts. gifts that God had blessed individuals with to help them in their ministry and in their service. And if you were to read through all of chapter 12, you would see some spiritual gifts listed in there that are not in practice or are not in active gifts today. Gifts such as the gifts of healing, performing that miracle of healing. Gifts of speaking in tongues, which, by the way, in the Bible, speaking in tongues was always speaking a known language. It was not some just kind of jibber-jabber. It was the ability to speak a language that was a known language, just that they had never been trained in that before. And in this time, in this era, these were active gifts. God used people in that fashion, and he used it in this fashion because they were presenting a message of Jesus Christ. They were presenting the gospel, and there needed to be a sign, that's why I call them sign gifts, or an evidence that what they were preaching and teaching and presenting, there was some authority behind it. There was some validity to it. So Paul would come and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why should we believe you, Paul? And God would use him to maybe heal someone or to perform a miracle, and that gave him some validity, gave him some authority. Now, in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, Paul himself says that these type of gifts are going to be done away with. They will go away. At the time of Paul's writing, it was still a future thing. But today, those gifts do not exist today because we have another authority. Something that Paul and the men there did not have completed at that time. Now today, when I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I tell you this is the way that you can be right with God, is through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, putting your faith in it, my authority is God's word. What do you mean, Pastor, that Jesus is the only way? How do I know that's true? I'll tell you why it's true. It's what the Bible says. I don't perform a miracle. I don't heal anybody. I don't speak in tongues. I just say, this is what God's word says. This is my authority. They didn't have the completed word at this time, and so God gave them sign gifts. So when you read through chapter 12 and you read in the book of Romans about the gifts, you might see some things like tongues, prophecies, healing that were active then but not active today. Now, there are many spiritual gifts that are active today. God's blessed each of us. If you're a Christian today, if you know Christ as your Savior, he's gifted you in at least one way and probably multiple ways that you could use those gifts in your service for the Lord. Preaching, teaching, administration, service, just various ways that we're gifted to serve our Lord. What was going on at the church at Corinth, this was like a bragging session. I have the gift of tongues. Look at me. I can heal. I can do this. I can do that. And they were elevating their gifts in such a fashion that it was an arrogance. It was a cockiness. And Paul says, listen, this is no good. He's going to deal with it here a little bit more in chapter 13 that we'll look at briefly. And so Paul's writing about that, but then he reminds them and he gives them a lesson. He gives them an illustration. That's what I want to look at today, the illustration that Paul gives about their gifts. Look with me to verse number 8 of chapter 12. It says, "For to one is given by the Spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gift of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these gifts worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." So, all these gifts, God divides them to who he wants as he wills. Some may have this gift, some have this gift. God divides this. Verse 12, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit, for the body is not one member, but many. Now Paul chooses to use the body as an illustration here. He's going to go on, if you drop down to verse number 15, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were a hearing, where were the smelling? Now God has set the members, every one of them in the body, as it pleased him. So he's using this. Now again, their problem is, I have a better gift than you do, or I don't have as good as a gift as you do, and there was arguing and contentions over their gifts. And Paul's saying, listen, what's more important? If you're a foot or you're a hand, if you're an ear or an eye, they're still part of the what? The body. He says it doesn't matter if in the scheme of things your gift makes you just a foot or makes you an ear, you're part of the body. And Paul will go on, and in other places of Scripture, it's going to teach about the church being a body, the body of Christ, but certainly a local body. And God has brought a body together here, and we're all gifted in different ways. Aren't you glad we all don't have the same gifts? What a boring bunch we would be if we're all the same, right? God has blessed us in various ways. We are diverse. That's one of the words he uses here, diverse. But we are diverse. There's a diversity among us so that there can be a unity among us. So there can be a body here. We're all not a bunch of feet. We're all not a bunch of hands. We're all not just one eye. Some of us in the body are like an eye. Some are like an ear. Some a mouth. No pun intended there, right? Don't point any fingers on that one. Some is a hand, foot. Different parts of the body that God has brought together, that God has built here. Think about this. Is there any way that you and I would really have ever met, all of us would have met, if it were not for Jesus Christ? I mean, think about it. Our paths crossing. I look around here and I got people that I've met just, and we're from all other parts of the country, different regions. But yet Jesus Christ, for whatever reason, has brought us here to Woodbridge, Virginia, to Heritage Baptist Church, and he's built a body. He's put a body together. By the way, isn't that a humbling thought to think, where would I be without Jesus Christ? You think back in your life to when you were saved. If you would have continued down that path apart from Jesus Christ, I had somebody after the morning service just stop me and just, I had two people actually talk to me about, man, where would I be without Jesus today? Oh, where could have I been? And at worst, we'd already be in hell. Or we have made our life into such a mess, we were on the path to hell. But Jesus Christ made all the difference. He's come in. And for many of you, you have that testimony that you know Christ as your Savior. And if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, listen, he'll make all the difference in your life. You accept him as your Savior. You invite him into your life to be your Lord and your Savior. And then let him bring order and direction to your life. And that's what he's doing here. And he's brought us all together. A body. A family. The family here at Heritage. I'm grateful again for the body of Christ. We have brothers and sisters all over the state of Virginia, don't we? This region of our country, this nation, literally around the world, brothers and sisters in Christ. When the last missions trip I went on was to Haiti here a few summers ago. Don't go to Haiti in the summer, all right? It's very, very hot. And we went in the middle of the summer, and it was very hot. And I greeted individuals all over that little island as my brother and my sister. Never met them before. never had interacted with them before, but they were my brothers and sisters in Christ. Many of them, after I'd get done preaching, they'd come up to me in their broken English, "Brother, thank you for the message. We are brothers and sisters in Christ." There's the large body of Christ. But God's brought this group, this small part of his body, to this local assembly, and he's made a body right here, the family of Heritage Baptist Church. Now, what took place in Corinth? Paul wrote his longest letter, a letter of condemnation and correction about the church at Corinth. Well, that wouldn't be good to have the letter to the Woodbridgians, would it? That it had all this negative stuff. The church at Woodbridge, Heritage Baptist Church. What could he write of us? What could be written of us? Well, I know not everything's been great over the 40 years. I know there's been ups and downs. But I would commend Heritage Baptist Church for your faithfulness. I would commend you for getting the gospel out, not just here locally, but literally around the world. Almost 200 missionaries that this church gets to support at this very moment. All over our world, church planters out of our church, missionaries out of our church. I could commend you for many things. And right behind that commending, I would warn you. It wouldn't take long to lose it all, would it? I don't know that we'd lose the eternal blessings. I'm not talking about that, but Heritage could change quickly if we're not careful. If we don't watch. If we don't take the lessons that Paul preached to other churches, using them as graphic examples of their sins, and that we don't take note of that and make sure that that doesn't take place in our own lives. And let me give you just one quick thought. You got one point message this morning. That was all introduction, by the way. Look at the last verse of chapter 12. Again, he's still speaking about gifts. But I'm going to give you the one thought on what's going to help Heritage stay on the path we've been on and even go to greater heights. Look at verse 31 of chapter 12. "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way." I want to talk about that last phrase for just a minute. "I show unto you a more excellent way." Now, what if this was the last verse of the book? Paul, what is it? What's the more excellent way? What are you going to tell us? Aren't you glad there's a chapter 13? In fact, Bible students, what's chapter 13 all about? Come on, someone say it nice and loud, John. Love. Charity. Look at just the first two or three verses. "Though I speak," and again, remember, he's condemning the way they've handled their gifts. Paul says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity." That word charity is the same word for love. Anytime you see charity in there, he's talking about love. "And have not charity, I have become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and I have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I have give my body to be burned, and I have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." Verse 4 down through about verse number 8 gives us a defining of charity. Notice, "Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth." He defines for us, he describes for us what charity is. And no doubt that was convicting to the church at Corinth, who was not suffering long, who was envying others, who were putting themselves in front of others. Then they were puffed up. They were not behaving themselves correctly. They were seeking things for themselves, not others. On and on and on, what he was describing here was completely contrary and opposite to what charity is, and that's what the church at Corinth was. Church you want that's going to protect heritage? Love. Well, we know God loves us, but I want to ask you, first of all, do you truly love God? If you love God correctly, we will love each other correctly. I've used the illustration many times. If I love my wife first, I can love her wherever that level is. But if I love God first, I put Him number one. My love for my wife is elevated, even though she's number two. Even though she's in second place, my love for her goes stronger and higher because I put God first. And listen, when you will love God first with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul, you will love the Lord God Almighty, number one. You can love each other. And that's, let's face it, sometimes, if you believe this, family can be hard to love. You believe that? Think about family reunions. You ever go to a family reunion? You got dozens of aunts, uncles, cousins, people you've never met before. Anybody have in that big family that crazy uncle? You know, the uncle. If you don't, you're typically that uncle, all right, in your family. They're the ones. It's no different in our church family. There's different personalities. There's different differences in all of us. And yet we can love each other still. We can have a love for each other, but that love comes from a love of God in our hearts. And so church, as we move forward in 2021, this year we will celebrate our 40th anniversary here at Heritage Baptist Church in June. A generation is about 40 years in the Bible. A generation. We'll celebrate what God's done, but we better be planning for what God wants to do. We better be looking forward to what God wants to do. What God wants, if the Lord's going to tarry His coming for another 40 years, will Heritage be here and still be the church that is sending missionaries out, that is supporting missionaries and church planters, that is getting the gospel out? If we want to be that same church, we got to be busy about it right now. And I think one area that we can really guard against is just to protect this family by loving God first and foremost, supremely in our lives. And then let God continue to work in this local body right here in Woodbridge, Virginia. I'm excited for what the Lord has in store for us this next year. Don't know what kind of trials and difficulties we're going to face. But just like God blessed us in 2020, even though it was a difficult year, and because He blessed us like He did in 2020, I can anticipate great things this year. I trust you'll be a part of it. I trust you'll be determined that you're going to be part of those blessings, and you're going to be part of what God's doing and wants to do in and through us here at the family at Heritage Baptist Church. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes today? Let me just close with our heads bowed and our eyes closed and summarize a couple of things. First of all, if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're not sure about your eternal destiny, whether heaven is your home. If you were to die today, you're not for sure where you would go after you died. We want you to know that you can have that settled once and for all, and you can have it settled through Jesus Christ. It's not about becoming part of our church. It's not about giving money or being baptized. It's about a faith relationship and what Jesus Christ did for you and His death, burial, and resurrection. And so if you have questions on that today, at this time, in just a moment, we're going to have what we call an invitation, and we would invite you to come forward today and to get that settled once and for all. Let us take the scripture and show you how you can know Jesus Christ as your Savior. A Christian, maybe something that was said today, even in the description of the Church of Corinth, maybe it hit you. Maybe it stung you a little bit. Maybe you could see some of those things even in your own life, and you want to get that taken care of. Or maybe you want to just thank God for what he has done in your life here at Heritage and in other places, and you want that to continue on. Perhaps you want to pray for our church that these next years, whether it's 40 or if it's just one more year before the Lord returns, whatever it may be, that we will continue to be that church family that is doing church in a way that brings honor and glory to our Lord and our Savior. Father, I pray for this invitation now, Lord, that you'd use this for your honor and glory. I pray for those, Lord, that you've touched their hearts today, God, Lord, that they would respond. Lord, that you would help them today to be obedient, whether that's there in their pew and just talking to you there or using this altar today, God. Lord, I pray again, if there's someone that needs to be saved, Lord, that they would listen to you and they would come today and let someone take the Bible and show them how they can be saved. Lord, if you touch somebody's heart about baptism, church membership, or just some area of their life that they need to get right with you, Lord, that they'd be obedient to you this morning. Lord, we'll thank you for what you accomplished now in Jesus' name. As our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, as the piano begins to play, if the Lord's touched your heart today, there at your pew or here at this altar, why don't you respond to him today? If you need someone to pray with you, we'd love to give you some counsel and some help today.